Well, it's a very cloudy day. And the Bible says we're going to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. Looks like there's plenty of clouds up there for us to all go. So would you please take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 1. Today's December the 4th, 2022. Ephesians chapter 1. Perhaps after this morning's teaching, you may see the hope of Christ's return in a bigger light. We know from the scriptures, there's a number of scriptures about Christ's return in Thessalonians, where we will all be gathered together, meet him in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord, and in Corinthians, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And we know a number of verses concerning Jesus Christ's return. We know he is coming back because that's what God's word said. This morning I'd like to focus on our inheritance that is coming. This is a bit of a follow-up to what I taught a few weeks ago, and we'll look at some verses in just a little bit that maybe will be a little clearer after we look at some review verses. But we're going to start in Ephesians 1, and we looked at this a few weeks ago when I taught. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed," got to hear it first, then decide if you want to believe it, "but when we believed it, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is," that Holy Spirit of promise, "the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." What a verse that is. We were sealed with God's Holy Spirit. And if God seals something, nobody's going to unseal it. But the Spirit each one of us has received is, as it says in verse 14, is the earnest. And I mentioned that the Greek word is eroboam, and it is a legal term that is, you could say, a deposit, a partial payment, indicating there's a greater matter to come. And we all understand that if we purchase something and put a deposit down. What is coming is our inheritance. This is what God said in his word. We just read it. The earnest of our inheritance. And so we can certainly trust God's word. He said there's an inheritance coming. Also, he said in Romans 8, if you back up just a little bit to Romans 8. Romans 8. And we looked at this a few weeks ago. Romans 8, verse 16. Well, let's look at 15. Verse 15 of Romans 8, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." Well, what have we received? "But you have received," it says in the King James, "the spirit of adoption." That would be much better translated, sonship spirit, "whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Verse 16, "the spirit itself that we have received," and that's the whole package, "the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit," with our inner self, "that we are the children of God." The spirit itself bears witness with our inner self. It bears witness, that means that's the evidence, that's the proof, so that we could absolutely know that we are what? Children of God. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's our proof. It's not a nice phrase that our group likes to use. We're children of God. Or sometimes you hear that all people are children of God. No, according to the Bible, those who are born again, who are saved, who have received that spirit, they are the children of God. So we have the proof so that we could absolutely know that we are literally children of God by birth. And that would mean that all that God's word says about his children is true for you. Everything God says about his children is true for you. We used to use that phrase, you are what the Word of God says you are. You have what the Word of God says you have. And you can do what the Word of God says you can do. We have all that God's Word says we have, and that includes an inheritance that is coming. There is an inheritance coming. And that inheritance is sealed. Nobody's going to mess with that. Verse 16 again. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Oh. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer or endure with him, that we may be also glorified together. It's almost unbelievable that God would say, because I don't know anybody that would just assume to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ, to share fully with him of the inheritance. He did all the work. We just said, okay, I'd like to be a part of this. Fine, you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Boy, isn't that amazing? So God said we're heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Heirs have an inheritance coming. It's the glory. It says at the end of that verse, look at this, compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's quite an inheritance coming. So God not only gave us his word, right, which is completely reliable, absolutely trustworthy, right? But he also gave each one of us a down payment of what is coming. And that down payment is the proof to us that we indeed do have an inheritance. Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, it says in verse 6, and because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because you are sons. We that are born again and have God's Spirit, God many times in his word refers to it as sons, and that's collectively male and female. One of the reasons is because of the culture. In Bible culture, only sons got the inheritance. That's just the way it was. And, you know, it was just part of the culture. I don't think women were going around going, this is not fair. It's just part of the culture. But isn't it wonderful for all of us, especially for ladies? But as far as God's concerned, we are all sons. Meaning we all get the inheritance. So it's all inclusive. Verse 6 again. And because you are sons, we're children of God. God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. There's an inheritance coming. Nobody's going to mess with it because God sealed it and he gave us proof of our inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, I think we looked at this a few weeks ago too. Blessed be the God, we're in the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, we're born again ones, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved. It's got your name on it. This belongs to Rebecca. Nobody's touching her. This belongs to Maggie. Nobody's touching her. Reserved in heaven for you. So the hope is future. The inheritance that God said we have is coming, and it's incorruptible, undefiled. It will not fade away. And in addition to God telling us in his word that we have an inheritance coming, God gave us that Erebom, Holy Spirit, that deposit, down payment, so that we would know absolutely, that we could be certain that we really do have an inheritance. Go to Colossians. We're going to come back here in a minute, but go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to come back to 1 Peter in a few minutes, but let's show you one more in Colossians. And then we're going to look at some verses that I hope will be more understandable than maybe they were in the past. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. For the hope, that's future, which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. This hope is laid up. It's reserved. We have an inheritance coming. Okay? So we're all on the same page with this. Good. Some verses, and let's just read Romans 10. I know we can probably all recite it, but let's put our eyes on it for a second, because it'll be important where we go right after that. But this great, wonderful verse in Romans chapter 10, the truth of this verse that has brought eternal life to millions. It says in verse 9 that if, it's conditional, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and confess means to acknowledge, to agree with, to recognize, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, he's Lord of all people who have ever lived, he's Lord, and number 2, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say you'll qualify. It doesn't say you're on your way. Don't mess up. It says thou shalt be saved. So when we confess the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, God's word says you are saved. So are we saved?
Yes.
All right. Now go back to 1 Peter where we were. Go back to 1 Peter. And we're in chapter 1. It says, well, we'll start in verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now that might look like, oh, wait a minute, I thought I was saved. I thought I have salvation. I just read Romans 10, thou shalt be saved, right? Ephesians told us we have that deposit, right? Yes. The down payment, the partial payment, indicating there's something greater that is coming. What is coming, which is part of our inheritance, is a greater salvation than what we have now. It's laid up and reserved for us in heaven. It fades not away. It's undefiled and incorruptible. It is a greater salvation than what we have now. We were looking at Ephesians 1. Go back and look at this. Because seeing this just makes the hope so much grander, so much bigger that, well, it's just huge. How about that? We read in Ephesians chapter 1, we read verse 13, we read verse 14. Let's read verse 14 again. Which is the earnest, that down payment, Holy Spirit is that down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Wait a minute. Until the redemption? I thought we were redeemed. Verse 7 says so. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption. So verse 14 again says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. We have been redeemed. We have redemption. And we have that right now. But again, there's a greater redemption coming. That's reserved for us in heaven. That's part of our inheritance, a greater redemption than what we have today. And that's part of that deposit, the greater redemption coming. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Back up just a bit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Reverend Cummins translated this, "Moreover, we through the Spirit patiently wait for the hope of justice or righteousness by believing." Well, waiting for the hope of righteousness, that would be future, right? Yes. I thought we are righteous. Well, we are. Romans 3 says that we are righteous right now, and part of our inheritance, we are waiting for the hope of an even greater righteousness, which is part of our inheritance. Wow. Isn't that cool? Yeah, yeah, it's very cool. It's kind of like it's just getting so big it blows your mind. Titus chapter 3. Oh, my goodness. Titus chapter 3. Everybody there? Titus 3, 4. "But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done," we're not saved by works, but by grace, "not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of Holy Spirit." See, we are saved, but there's a greater salvation coming. We are saved. We have the Spirit in us, "which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." Now look at verse 7. "That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." There's an inheritance coming. And we have it because we are saved, because we have the Spirit of God in us. And that eternal life is the life that pertains to the ages to come. So we're saved now, and because we're heirs, we anticipate inheriting an even greater salvation than what we enjoy now. And we know that's true because God gave us a deposit. We have the deposit. If we didn't have the deposit... But having a deposit, a partial payment, means there's something greater coming. So we're saved now, but because we have the deposit, we know there's a greater salvation coming. We are redeemed right now. And because we're heirs, we anticipate an even greater redemption coming for us. And we know it's true because we've got the deposit. We are righteous right now. And because we're heirs, we are anticipating inheriting an even greater righteousness coming for us. And we know it's true because we have the deposit. God gave us that deposit. And again, let's remember that having a deposit indicates something even greater is coming. You know, if you buy a house, you have to do a down payment. You don't do 90% of the cost of the house, right? Who could buy a house? It's a smaller percent, not the greater. So that looking at these, you just think, well, how big is the salvation that's coming in the inheritance? How big is this redemption that's coming for us? How big is the righteousness of our inheritance coming? I don't know. I know the Bible says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him." Our salvation, our full salvation, our full redemption, our full righteousness is still future. But it's guaranteed by God's word and also by that earnest, that down payment that God gave us. Look at Romans 13. So looking at a few of these verses, you know, without the understanding of the inheritance and the greater that's coming, it would look like, well, wait, I thought I was saved. Wait a minute, I thought I was redeemed. But seeing it in that light just makes the hope so much bigger and greater in our understanding. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." We're saved, right? We have salvation, but our fuller and greater salvation is coming. That's part of our inheritance. We are today another day closer to receiving that full and greater salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 8, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, or believing, and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Hope's future, right? The hope of salvation. That couldn't be the salvation that we already have, right? We already have salvation, but we have hope in the future of an even greater salvation that's coming, and that's part of our inheritance. Verse 9, for God has not appointed us to wrath. You know, in chapter 1, it says that Jesus Christ delivered us from the wrath to come. There is wrath coming. And then, you know, people say God's going to... Wrath simply means judgments. There will be a judgment day. But we have not been appointed unto wrath. Chapter 1 tells us we've been delivered from the wrath to come. And in Romans 5, it says we are saved from the wrath by or through Jesus Christ. The reason we're saved from it is because God has made us righteous now. We are not going to have to go through the wrath. Isn't that nice? That's part of our inheritance. You folks are exempt from the wrath. Go swim in the pool while we take care of it. Figuratively speaking, I don't know if there's a pool up there. Verse 9 again. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. Obtain salvation. I thought I already had salvation. We do. But the salvation in the future that we will obtain, that is a much greater salvation. God's not appointed us to wrath, but he has appointed us to obtain a much greater salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. What a hope we have to look forward to, the hope of Christ's return. What an inheritance is waiting for us, incorruptible, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved, laid up for us. And so we have God's written word concerning these matters, right? And God's word is absolutely trustworthy and reliable. God also gave each one of us a partial payment, a deposit, which, as we read in Romans, is the proof to us. Spirit itself bears witness that we are God's children, and all of this is available to us. So we're saved, redeemed, and righteous now, but we are anticipating a greater, fuller salvation, redemption, righteousness that's coming. Now look at verse 10. Verse 9 said, by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. All of us, those who are awake, those who have fallen asleep, we are all going to obtain a much greater and fuller salvation when Christ returns. How loving of God to give us his Spirit, and we can operate the Spirit of God. There are Christians who have the Spirit, but either haven't learned from God's word or decided not to operate it. But once you operate the Spirit of God, you know, like speaking in tongues, speaking a language you do not know, how much more proof do you need that you got the Spirit of God in you? What a loving God to do that for us. It's just his great love. So we can operate it. The Spirit in us is the deposit, the down payment, so that we could be certain of our inheritance. And in Colossians, back up just a little bit. I think we looked at this verse a few weeks ago. The Spirit of God that we have in us is referred to in Colossians 1:27, whom God would make known. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory? Hope is future. There's a glory coming, a great and glorious day, if you will. Christ in you, the Spirit in us is referred to as Christ in you, the hope of glory. And again, the Spirit of God that's in us, that's the deposit. It's going to be a glorious day. Our inheritance will be very glorious. Couple more. Ephesians 1. This is part of the prayer, the first prayer in Ephesians. One of these days we'll look at the whole prayer, but part of this prayer in Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding, this is the prayer. This is God's will for us, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We got an inheritance coming. It's sealed. Nobody's going to mess with it. Wow. The riches of the glory of his inheritance. And before we close in Romans 8, go to Titus one more time. Titus chapter 2. This world may get crazy. It may get crazier, but we got an inheritance. We got an inheritance. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. Oh, we're looking, we're waiting, we're anticipating. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are looking for that to happen. Could be today. I like what it said in Romans. We are nearer than when we first believed. Sure, we're another day closer. And let's close in Romans 8. Been there before. And I'll tell you, you can just camp out in Romans 8. There's so much in there. There's a lot in the book of Romans. No wonder Martin Luther said what he said about Romans. But we'll start in verse 16. We read this earlier, but it says in verse 16, the Spirit itself, that new nature that we have, the totality of the whole thing, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, with us, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer or we endure with him, that we may be also glorified together on that great and glorious day. And verse 18, look at this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world, whatever it is we have to endure and go through in this life, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That glorious day. And that Spirit of God that's in us, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a glorious day that's coming for you and for me. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Such great word of God. Great encouragement. Before I close with prayer, I'm going to play a song that I think will be fun to listen to. Lisa Tracy.
We'll be cheering at the start of the show, applauding right there in the front row. We'll be hearing that trumpet sound and the voice of our Lord, a triumphant shout. And the years and the miles will all fall away on that glorious gathering day, when it will be time for victory, time for you and me, time to ever be with our Lord in glory. Through this opening act to eternity, walking in love here on earth, children of God by the grace of new birth. And we know what is coming, and it's coming our way, that glorious gathering day, when it will be time for victory, time for you and me, time to ever be with our Lord in glory. And the music won't stop, it'll go on forever. God and His Son and us all together. The stars for our lights and the heavens our curtain. Ain't no doubt now, this is for certain. When to be late. Won't be any waiting in a long line. We'll all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And for now in our hearts we are singing with grace, waiting to be face to face with our Lord when it's time for victory. Time for you and me. Time to ever be with our Lord in glory. And the music won't stop, it'll go on forever. God and His Son and us all together. The stars for our lights and the heavens our curtain.
Gracious, wonderful God, we praise you and thank you for your love, for your mercy and your grace, for your wonderful plan of salvation and redemption. And we're so grateful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who carried out your will perfectly so that we could be literally your children. Thank you for all that you've given us for this life that we live now, that we can indeed be victorious in this life. We can indeed be more than conquerors, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Father, we anticipate that glorious day when our full redemption will be freely given to us by such a merciful, loving God. Thank you for helping us through this week, and Father, may we continue to remember that we are your children, that we have access to you as our Father, and that we have a great inheritance that we can look forward to, and we look forward to when it is time. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.